The Bronx Horns. I'm Mr. Bronx. I still live in the Bronx. With Second Wind. This is from their 1999 album, Catch the Feeling, featuring three of Tito Puente's star horn players, Mitch Froman, Bobby Porcelli, and Ray Vega. I'm so glad to share them with you today. This is Lead Stories. I'm Beatrice Lead, and we return to subjects contemporary. What are you thinking? What is going through your mind? How are you getting through this period with so much craziness happening all at the same time, and it seems everywhere? Well, Joe Biden pled for detente yesterday. The only way America can survive and progress, he says, is if there is detente in Congress, of all. If they could call off the war in Congress and get down to some business having to do with the progress of the nation, that would be a good idea, he said. And I thought to myself, well, does George Biden listen to Lead Stories? That's exactly what we said yesterday. All this fighting and acrimony and craziness going on. And it is planned and orchestrated, and it is it has a purpose as far as they see it, and that is for individuals to lift themselves into the limelight for something, to be known for something. And they don't care what they want to be known for or what they become known for. They care only that they become known. This is what we have for leadership in the United States. And it is so ironic that we have so many people looking outside of the United States saying, look at what they're doing. They don't have a clue. They're destroying their country. They're fighting like crazy. Well, take a look. Take a look in Washington, D.C. Take a look in practically every single state capital, and you see exactly the same thing. Take a look at city councils across this nation. I can't remember in recent memory how fractious the nature of government has become. And yet we think, well, this is the way government is done. People fighting, people lobbying, and people doing all kinds of crazy things that have nothing to do with the business of the people, with the progress of the nation. But their own private little wars that they're having, and that is what is taking precedence over everything else. Because they have to do things, outrageous things, to catch the attention of the media, which they continue to insist that they hate. But they try to make news within the news cycle so that they can get some kind of coverage for doing something. I don't know. It doesn't matter these days. As long as their names get out there, their images get out there, their voices get out there. They don't care what the medium is, and they don't care the reason that they're becoming known. They care only that they're part of what is happening now. And that makes them noteworthy. That makes them people who are in the news and people you have to pay attention to because they have sway. They have the power of persuasion. They have authority. And most of the time, none of it is true. What's worse is none of it ought to be true. The reason we have elected officials and the reason we have voting and elections and all of that supposedly is part of a comprehensive and total process of how the nation, as a nation, prioritizes its business, how it goes about this process of taking care of the people's business. But increasingly, if you watch the news, it's about who is being more rude than the other, who is saying more outrageous things than the other, and they have no shame. In fact, they wear these awful behaviors on their sleeves as badges of honor. This is what this country has come to. And so it is ironic when you hear criticisms coming out of Washington or coming out of a state, the state house, or coming out of the city councils of across this nation, you hear all these criticisms as if they are not the first in line to set the example of just how you plan to be nasty, you plan to be destructive in order to secure your place in the American psyche. To get news coverage, to distinguish yourself as a legislator who's doing something. James Brown, I think, said it best. He said, like a dull knife that ain't cutting, you're talking loud and saying nothing. But somehow, they seem to translate this concept into public relations for themselves. And then people get the wrong idea. Well, if they're in the news, it must mean that they're important. It must mean that they're doing something significant. I mean, the television cameras are on them and they are talking stuff. We don't know whether what they're talking about makes sense. But the media is there. We have a media industry where people can't seem to make judgments about what is news anymore. They see a podium and a couple microphones clustered in front of it. It must mean that something significant is happening, and therefore it must mean it deserves coverage. And then we have the vicious cycle starting all over again. Very, very marginal people come to be known to the American public as people who are doing things, getting things done, making decisions, living up to their responsibilities as legislators. And for some of us, all we want is a place to hide. We're so ashamed that this is what has become of the profession. This is what has become of political leadership. And we are supposed to feel comfortable about our future because, I mean, businesses being taken care of. So I had to say that yesterday because exactly what Biden said, and I'm not saying this to say that, oh, look, we are in sync with each other. No. It is that people, if they're paying attention, would tend to observe the same things. when a president of a country just started his presidency has to essentially point out that what is happening to him and to Washington and to the nation is that we have an attack, if you will, of mediocrity. It's hurting this nation. It's crippling this nation because we have veritable idiots getting play. And that's all they want. They don't want the job of actually legislating. They don't want to have conversations with their cohorts and saying, well, you know, I don't know that I agree that your position on with your position on such and such. That civility is out. Nobody's talking to each other. They're barking at each other. They're hissing at each other. And this is the example they set for the world. This is how you behave in Congress, in city council, in the state legislature. You behave as if you were taught no manners at all. You were raised by the scruff of your neck. That you don't, you're a hooligan. And you like it. Women and men alike, behaving like thugs and trying to convince this nation this is how you legislate. This is how you do the business of the people. Some of these legislators are downright jerks. Who wants them to represent the people's interests? But we have to live with them. And yet, you know, in a shake of a rat's tail, they would be the first ones condemning what's going on in Haiti, what's going on in this country, what's going on in that country, as if they can set the best example of how you legislate, what it takes to move things forward in this country. Right now, it's open warfare. Everybody is at war. And nothing, practically nothing, I should correct myself, in the way of the people's interests is being paid attention to and being solved. I just thought I'd mention that. And it was, if people were really interpreting contemporary history well, yesterday was a sad day. The president looked beaten. And all he was basically suggesting was, can't you people get your act together and sit down and concentrate on what is best, what is the best thing to do for the American people. Is that really too hard? We have this one barking and that one snarling and that one grunting. And we are supposed to go to bed feeling safe and secure. The nation is in good hands. Okay, well, I needed to make that note because we will have to deal with it at some point. What percentage of guilt do we, the people, have in allowing this kind of mess and craziness? And where and how do we come into the picture to say, stop it? And if you can't stop it, get out. This is not legislation or legislating. You having little schoolyard fights. And it's all about you and your perceived self-importance. When you break it down, it has very little to do with the aggregate good of a nation. Somehow we've reached a point where our so-called leaders don't know how to behave. They don't know how to comport themselves. They don't know the most effective ways to legislate. That doesn't mean that you reduce yourself to just one of those namby-pamby, go-along-to-get-along types. But what we have now is completely unacceptable. And we, the people, should let it be known, this is not what we want. So there ought to be some effort at these levels of authority and power to clean up your act. And if you can't be civil, and if you can't adopt new ways of comporting yourself, get the hell out. And the leaders should take that position. People have thrown all kinds of things to the wind. They no longer care about these things. They no longer see their portrayal as the jackasses that they are as being embarrassing to the nation and to themselves, of course. They think it's a badge of honor. Look how stupid I could be and outrageous. I'm a member of Congress. I can be stupid. I can be outrageous. What are you going to do about it? Well, it's time that we show them what can be done about it. All right. So let's pause here and move on to the next segment at 888-874-4888. Let's get your reaction to this initial salvo. There are others in the pipeline, which I have to get to. But I wanted to say this because we are steadily going down this hill and it's getting steeper and steeper. And like anything else, anything going downhill tends to pick up speed. This conduct that we have and that we seem to have accepted as the norm has got to stop. We have to beg people to behave themselves. We have to beg people to be professional. And we're paying them this salary, and they're doing whatever they want to do, and they're acting like little children. Sorry, I didn't mean to insult children. I know a whole bunch of children who don't act like this. We need a general signal sent if we have to do it. I mean, that's appalling. These are grown people. Some of them are grandparents. And you have to tell them how to comport yourself as an officer of the court or officer of the legislature. This should not be. And we should not tolerate it. This one is calling somebody some kind of a pejorative name, and the other one is making up lies. No, it should not be. Reinstill some kind of order, please. We do not in our lives generally conduct ourselves this way. And I don't feel comfortable having a so-called leader behaving like a thug. All right. 888-874-4888 is the number to call just to get this conversation started today. 888-874-4888. I know I sound like a grumpy old lady, but you know what? It is very important to me how we are seen insofar as the responsibility of being leaders of the world. And this is what we do. People are asking, and in fact, Biden made this point himself. All over the world, people are just mesmerized by the low level to which leadership has sunk and their aggregate conduct, which is so embarrassing, it should embarrass them to behave this way. And to say this is representative of the country. And we now have come to the point, we the people, have come to the point of expecting this kind of behavior as proof that something is being done. They're doing their jobs. Yes, they're being nasty. And they're being common. And I'm being polite. Denise from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, Utrice. Thank you for taking my call. Hi. Yes, I wanted to make two comments based on my observations. One is that I want to thank you for this program because I think it's very, very positive for the people. And I think it's something that should be introduced into the school system because, you know, it can really help young people to formulate their ideas and their arguments about things. So that's one thought. And my second observation is that I'm a little bit concerned about some of the things that I'm hearing you saying. For example, yesterday I tuned in. First of all, I normally listen to the program before yours to get some health information, and then I sometimes end up in your program. And like I said, I love the format that you have here. What I do question is some of the political commentaries that you put out. I understand everybody has their political views and that those are always valid. I just hear you sometimes say things like a wide tent and we the people. And then yesterday I hear you making certain comments like they're sick, they're in need of psychiatric care, they're demented, they're crazy people in office. These are very strong comments. And you seem to be targeting them at the other side, meaning the Republican red state, whatever, you know, those individuals. I heard you mention the 45th president. I heard you mention Ted Cruz quite a bit and Rand Paul. And I believe there was another one. So I just wonder when I've tuned into your program, I wonder if you're really interested in a dialogue amongst we the people at large, or if you're only interested in a dialogue with we the people on the left side or the Democrat side, or, you know, however you, the blue side, however you want to characterize that. I heard a little clip on a program last night from showing Marsha Blackburn. She's a senator. She's a Republican senator. And she was talking about the business of we the people. So she's talking about we the people on that side, perhaps, or perhaps of the whole. And you seem to be talking about we the people on the left side or the Democrat side, as opposed, or perhaps you mean of the whole. And I would hope so, because then I would say we need to have more of that type of dialogue where we begin to bridge, because I would say that there are many on the other side who have strong feelings about what they see happening on the left side or the Democrat side or the blue state side, you know. And I think that the biggest issue here that we're dealing with in our country is that we have a great divide. It is deep, it is wide, it is broad, and it is almost like unsurmountable. And I think you're saying a similar sort of thing from your standpoint. What do we do about this divide or this, you know, difficulty that we're suffering in our country? And I think that there is a great difficulty. And I think that part of beginning to resolve that, even if it's just a little bit, is to begin to chip away at this divide. And doing so by having this conversation, I, you know, when I have come onto your program and I've heard you on other occasions speak in this very strong way about certain politicians on the right, I have wondered if you're interested in having that conversation or welcoming others from the other side of the aisle to begin that conversation on your program. Because I think we, the people at the grassroots level, need to begin to have that conversation. We need to begin to talk with one another and find out perhaps that there are rights and wrongs on both sides. That there are.
Yes, but I'm not interested in the rights and wrongs on both sides. I'm interested in us taking action because we can determine, we can discern what is right and what is wrong. And we should raise our voices unmistakably clearly that we reject what you're offering, meaning these people in office and behaving badly. We reject
that. I'm not sure.
I don't look at it from, well, whether you're on the right or on the left or you're moderate. I don't look at life that way. If you're a jerk, you're a jerk. Fix it. Or get out.
May I finish my
That's
point and then, I'll,
do.
And then I'll let you.
Yeah, but I gave you quite a bit of time to make it.
Oh, no problem. I'm happy to go. So I just wanted to wrap up and say, Utrice, thank you so much for your program. And I hope that you will consider listening more to people who are across the aisle from you, and that is a form of taking action. And, you know,
but
and if you choose
say
not,
this
I understand
to you
that as well.
Before you go, let me say this.
No,
it doesn't matter to me.
Having
what? Hold on.
No,
it
does because you're
matter to me, and I never
raising.
Think of what side you're on. It is of no consequence to me. You are on whatever side you want to be on. That's okay. But I shouldn't have to, as a citizen, tolerate this kind of behavior that seems to be going on and getting worse by everybody. We shouldn't have to deal with that. Well, no matter what side you're on, and I don't deal with that. You're either on the right side or the wrong side.
The right side or
you're
the left
either
side?
You're thinking or you're not thinking.
So, okay, I hear you. And so does that mean that you're open to also hearing from those who are, you know, perhaps supporters of the people that you complained about yesterday and you called them these names that are really pretty outrageous? Do you want to?
No, they're not outrageous. Are they outrageous?
I think so.
Is it outrageous to call a person who is a fool a fool?
No, you is didn't that just a fool. Utrice, yesterday I gave you a list of the things, because I took notes. You said they're sick,
okay,
in need of psychiatric
yes,
care, demented.
They are sick.
These are really strong. Well, that's your opinion. And I wonder
no,
if you're
it's
interested
not. It,
in
it is.
Hearing
it, it would be anybody's opinion
others.
Who examines very closely people's conduct. You don't have to wait for some psychiatric panel. Look, before Donald Trump was even inaugurated, what did I say about his psychiatric profile? What did I say?
What did you say yesterday?
No, before Donald Trump was inaugurated as president. What did I say?
What did you say?
Here is somebody in dire need of psychiatric evaluation and help. What did
okay.
a whole panel, a whole group, a whole organization of psychiatrists say?
Uh-huh.
Months later, they said exactly the same thing.
Right. And did any of them diagnose him? And would you say that because that panel said that, that is therefore fact? And that therefore you
no,
can repeat
no, no,
it?
No, no, no. The thing I'm
fact?
Pointing to is we have sometimes to give respect to our instincts about things. Because some of us, even though we're not lettered in this particular area or that, we know things. I know when somebody's crazy.
Oh, okay.
I don't
well, you
to,
know it in
I don't
way.
Have to have
you
an
know,
interview
you know
and sit
you
down
know.
And I can come to the conclusion after giving great observation to that person's conduct, behavior, and what they say and what they do, you're crazy.
Okay, I hear you.
Bless
I hear you.
Some head.
Your position about that. I think that those are politics, though. I think that what you're speaking about are politics. That's my opinion. You're spewing rhetoric about politics, and I wonder
now,
if you want to go
about
deeper
reality.
And talk
politics
about truth.
Politics ends up being about people. People, leaders are people. We have decided as a nation. Not, we don't want to offend anybody, even when they're doing things that are deleterious to the nation and to us. We shut up. We have a history of covering up. Look how much covering up has been done with regard to Trump. How much more covering up are you willing to extend before he totally destroys any possibility of rebuilding.
Yeah, Utrice, what I'm saying is that all of what you just said, that's a political opinion.
No. See, this is where you're wrong. Don't categorize my opinion as
political
opinion.
It is
an opinion. It happens to be an insightful, by the way, I don't want to praise myself, but it's an insightful opinion. If I call attention to something a long time, years before the professionals lay out the same case, wouldn't you say, well, maybe I'm insightful?
No,
maybe
sure.
the points I raised months and months and months ago were legitimate. Don't talk over me. Just listen. Just listen for a minute. If I bring to your attention, you know how many times this has happened to me? I will call a thing a thing. Everybody's, well, you know, I'm not sure, and there's so many ways to look at it. No, there's, if you're crazy, there's only one way to look at it. You go someplace and get help. You're not supposed to be given unfettered access to the nuclear arsenal and ways in which you arbitrarily can decide to act so that you destroy this country and this world. That is crazy. But this is a thing people know me for. I say what I have to say. And not because I'm being mean-spirited. I know how to back up what I'm saying.
You don't back
up. I back up what I'm saying.
Not in this case. In this case, you haven't backed anything up. When you go on these rants about, and I've only heard you bring up right-wing politicians. You go on these rants. I don't hear any backup. I'm actually listening for backup. I
listen to your language.
All of these comments, there was no backup.
You are calling a very insightful analysis a rant. How dare you do that?
Which insightful are you speaking of? INCIT?
Yesterday.
I'm confused.
Yesterday, yes. That was insightful.
What do you mean?
Because nobody has said it.
Well,
none of the educated people, the sophisticated people, the great politicians and the political analysts have said it. I did.
Said what? Said, you mean the comments that you made? Yeah. Okay.
Look, you're monopolizing the time, and we really have to move on.
I want to thank you so much for listening to me, and I hope that we can talk again down the road if you're open to it.
Here you go again. I'm
no.
always, and the record suggests
or not.
The
Otherwise, I
there you go
to,
talking over me. The record clearly suggests. I'm open to talking to anybody. But you're not going to disrespect me. You're not going to belittle what I say in the same way that I treat you or anybody else that I'm talking to. Your opinion has value. You are having a conversation with me because you have a position in your mind to protect and defend. I don't have such a thing. I think that the Democrats and Republicans all need to go someplace and get some therapy because they're not doing this right. I've said it. I'm not shy. They're underperforming spectacularly, and we are suffering the consequences of their ill-preparedness and the misdirection of resources and so forth, trying to persuade us that this is what legislating looks like. No, it isn't what legislating looks like. I have a history of speaking my mind. I don't care whether you're Democrat or conservative or Republican or completely apolitical. I'm saying what I think needs to be heard. And I'm saying my truth, which I think a lot of people share, but are afraid to say it. Again, I want to talk to this business of Donald Trump. I was the first person to point out that this president has major psychiatric problems. Nobody else since even has talked about it. I did this before his inauguration. And everything I pointed to has been proven, has been backed up. Everything. So it is important for people to understand. I'm not just talking off the top of my head. I do have considerable experience. I don't walk around boasting about it. But when I feel there is a reason to speak up because other people are not, I speak up. I'm happy to defend my position if it comes to that. But I don't believe in that either because I allow people to express yourself. I will challenge you if it is necessary, but you have a right to express your opinion too. So I don't know that I have to be subjected to extraordinary scrutiny. No, I'm expressing an opinion. The record shows I'm absolutely correct in what I say. And yesterday was a good example. None other than the President of the United States said, we have to do something about this. This tone, this direction we're headed in, it's bad for the country, and we have to fix it. Some people think it is trivial, but let me tell you, it's the reason that many countries end up in the dustbin, where nobody pays attention to these things. Thank you for calling in and getting us started today. Brother David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Oh, boy, this is quite a discussion. But I've reached analysis, my own analysis and my opinion. And I think this should be the starting point of a discussion like this. And my opinion is, from the very start of this slave republic, the interests of the masses of people that were brought here and that live here were not a priority. This country is basically run in the interests of the elite, the ruling class, the founder type, the slave owner founder types, and that's what it is. So if you're looking at the Congress and you're thinking that Congress is going to do what is best for the mass of people that live here, you know, that's quite a foolish way of looking at it, because the people in the Congress, that's the legislative or the executive or the judicial, they essentially work for those who rule, those at the top. So when it was founded, the way the Constitution was set up, and the Senate, there's certainly no democracy there, and there's no democracy in the Congress as I see it, because when you have a system of legalized bribery, when you have a situation that we have right now, to think that what the Congress and the legislative branch is going to do is in the interest of the masses of people who live here is a very incorrect idea. They are driven by those at the top. They lead, they control, and they decide, and they influence in numerous ways. And the only possible way that's going to change is when the people show two things, some sort of rebellion and, well, let's put it this way, and take it to the streets. You're not going to change anything by writing a letter to your supposedly your congressperson or senator. It'll have to be taken to the streets. Anytime they see a chance of rebellion, that is the day that they're going to make those changes and run the operation of the country, possibly in the interest of the masses of people who live here and not the elite and people at the top who rarely control the country.
One word I need to say to you, and it's amen. Thank you so much for your contribution today.
Thank you.
Wayne from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, you too.
Good afternoon.
Oh, thank you. Now, again, that lady, I didn't get her name, the first lady had on. I thank her for being civil and being as nice as she was. She made some points.
Yes.
And conversation, like any other thing, is a two-way street. So I understand it's your program and you run it as you want. But give people a chance to say what they have to say. We learn a lot. I, as an individual, learn a lot from you. You pointed out something to me before, and I see it applying to a whole lot of different issues. You said these people in power speak a language that is not directed at me. And you are right. I must thank you for that. A lot of what they say is coded. This is what you explained to me, and I thank you. Some of the stuff you do is brilliant. Some of the other stuff is not so brilliant, but we all have those tendencies. Now, back to your topic. Whether these polytricksters represent... No, it's not the polytricksters that we have to be worried about. It's the system. The system which allowed them to do it, the system that we think, or some people think, is here to represent everybody, is not. It's not. This is a continuation of the old British Empire system, where the rich elite rule and the others are just there for the labor and to be used. We had people in office, politicians, that we should always cherish and try to emulate. One, Adam Clayton Powell, a giant among those people up there, right? The other one is a female, and I call her my heroine, Cynthia McKinney. Since then, we are lacking that kind of commitment to people, to the people that put you in office. We don't have it. Little firebrand went in, Alexandria Ocasio. She's been bought out very early. She has, and it's sad because instead of opposing Nancy and the other bought and sold people there, she's going along with the program. I guess they explain how the system runs, that these people pay you, and you are here to serve their interests, and it's not the interests of the people who elected you. So even though she will make statements like her Bernie.
Yes.
She made these statements loud, but we don't really stick behind it. It's just to excite your... what's the term for that? The people that you represent, your constituency. But you talk about Biden now bemoaning these folks to act professional and serve the interests of the people, see about the people's interests. He's not doing that. He is far from doing that. He said he come here to change all the nonsense Trump did. We still have an embargo on Cuba. We still have this nonsense going on with Venezuela, right? They're still operating the government in Haiti. He could change these things. He could, but he's not doing it. He's following the system, the systematic ruling that was here from the British, and it didn't change. We thought it changed. They put some whitewash over it and they say, oh, it's new. No, it's not. So we have our president in office that, just like sometimes, I listen to you, used to use Obama as that guiding light. Damn, he's worse than a flambeau on rainy nights. Oh, gosh. Oh, Lord. But that is my opinion, like some of the others. And... like everybody else, I truly enjoy your program, the way you conduct it. Well, sometimes I don't like it when you step on people, and you do that sometimes. You do it.
Well, it's not about stepping on people. I'll have to take issue
homage
with that.
Yes, go on.
I like the idea, and I I mean, it's so evident, I think. I entertain as many different ideas as possible. I think it's great. It's important for us to appreciate different ideas. But I also am a smart woman. I know when people are talking to me and, you know, on different levels. They're not really saying what they want to say. I'm one of those people, I like to say what I have to say. I like to say it. I don't want you guessing. I don't want people intuiting what it is I'm saying. I'm going to tell you what I'm saying. Secondly, I'm pretty protective of what I consider a consistent history of representing my point of view and representing those people who also share my point of view. I'm not advocating for anybody. I'm saying everybody deserves to be heard. But don't go through the obsequious route of thinking we are having a conversation, but you are having a totally different conversation at a different level, and I can't detect it. I can detect it. I spoke earlier this month about my experience. This is just a strange thing. My experience in just making a wrong turn. I was taking a short vacation in Florida. And following the directions, I ended up in this place where people just stared at me with such hatred. And they were nasty. They didn't say a word. They did not say a word. This is grown women, grown men, and children. And all I did was I turned off on the wrong road, and I came upon a yogurt store and decided I'll have some yogurt. At least that would calm me down for a bit. But I came out of the store and they were still there staring at me with this hatred. It turned out that that place was the same place where this major collapse occurred and almost 100 people were killed. But now they're learning that this was a cesspool. This place that had all the trappings of a great life, it was a racist cesspool of hate. They're just discovering that. It was a refuge for many people who had gone through prosecutions and so forth and found a new life and a new way of ripping people off in that very area, that very neighborhood. They're now discussing that. I saw it instantly. And that's what I was talking about. I saw that instantly. And it takes a while, I understand, because not everybody is, in some cases, directly attuned to what they're looking at. They don't interpret it. I do. I have had all of my professional life. I have put things on the line, and sometimes it causes people to go crazy. How could you say such a thing? And then guess what? I'm proven absolutely correct. They can't argue against my points. They're arguing something else. Trying to make people believe they're debating my point. They're nowhere close to my points. I get it. Just what day was it? Was it yesterday or the day before? Somebody said to me, well, that's my opinion. And I had to tell you, you're not even 10 miles close to an opinion. You don't even know what an opinion is. I will teach you what an opinion is, how you get to an opinion. You see, so I've had to learn to, that's a certain kind of defense, if you will, use the word defense. But if you don't watch it, there are people who make mincemeat out of you very nicely because they disagree, not only with what you say, but the implications of what you say. You become an agent of change. They're very opposed to that. I understand all of that. Believe me. So it still does not prevent me from saying what I have to say. Who did, to this day, who did the most, on radio anyway, the most comprehensive analysis of the Clintons?
You.
On which program? Exactly.
Yeah.
People would say, well, they're Democrats, you should leave them alone. Why? They're awful Democrats. And people need to know. That doesn't stop me.
You, Trish, over the years, and I mean over the years, ever since from the Sun newspaper, I've been following you and really, really impressed. This is why I'm still following you and impressed. But you have the things, they're like all of us. We have these short terms that we need. You're telling this lady before, don't talk over you. But I guess since it's your show, it's free to talk over her. Back to our president, right? This issue.
Oh, we don't have time. We're out of time.
No. So, this one. It's short.
No, but we're out. You're hearing the background music. They're playing the music already, saying, you got to go. I didn't say that. The engineer is saying, you got to go. So we'll pick it up again tomorrow. How about that? Yes, we can. All right. Thank you so much for listening and participating today. Let's come back tomorrow and do some more debating. Bye-bye.